Elaine Loughlin, to you first. Week two we're in of the eviction ban controversy. A Sinn Féin motion next week ensures that it rolls into week three.
Mm-hmm. And it's a controversy that I think Sinn Féin, especially members of the opposition in general, but Sinn Féin especially, want to keep on the agenda. Mary Lou MacDonald was speaking in New York about it last night, and we had Eoin O'Brien on the plinth today publishing that motion that will go ahead next Tuesday when the Dáil reconvenes. Interestingly enough, though, at least one member of government is actually helping Sinn Féin keep that issue on the agenda. That's Nasa Horrigan, the Green Party TD. She came out this afternoon to say that she actually agreed with Sinn Féin, or certainly said Sinn Féin was correct in that the lifting of this ban was the wrong decision when there was little or no contingency plan in place or no concrete measures. And she said that, you know, backbenchers may decide to vote with Sinn Féin if real and tangible measures are not put on the table next week by the Housing Minister and by the government.
And do we know the wording of the Sinn Féin motion as yet, what it is going to propose?
Yeah, well, Sinn Féin, they definitely want to keep this ban in place until the end of the year. And then there are a number of other measures they would like to see in place to protect renters. But the main one is that this ban would remain on until the end of December this year.
Rory O'Murricu, to you first. What do you expect to be achieved between now and December, and why December?
Well, it's the end of January 2024 is what we're proposing.
It was December, though, was it?
Yeah, well, look here, I'm looking at...
That's the motion, but now, yeah.
At the motion at this point, you know. And look, we're working on the basis of providing a sufficient amount of time to actually carry out, you know, the emergency actions. Look, we've heard a whole pile of conversations about tenant in situ, and we've talked about the tenant in situ from a point of view of those people who are in HAP, and we're talking about also an affordable cost rental type, cost rental type scheme. But like, we really need to see details in relation to it. Look, I know that there is a circular has gone out to local authorities. We're talking about these 1,500 in situ tenancy purchases. But like, I think the target for Louth is in around 30. There's already 20 that are in play anyway by Louth County Council. And there's huge issues in the sense of you have to fall within a particular criteria. If you're in a house that has one bedroom too many on the basis of what you can avail of by, you know, on in relation to getting a house, you can't avail of it. There's different county councils that are operating different
rules.
If you're not 5 years on the housing list, the Louth County Council and other councils won't look at you at the minute from a point of view of purchasing.
Just before I get to the rest of the panel, this is a motion and it's designed to show who supports the motion and the general desire to extend the eviction ban. Why not, I suppose, spend a bit more time, draw up a bill catering to the concerns that have been raised across party benches so far, and put that to the Dáil in a way that it might actually turn out as legislation at the end of the day, and something concrete could be done off the back of it?
Well, look, we know it's particularly straightforward, and obviously for a government it's a hell of a lot straightforward in relation to introducing legislation. We are doing what we can as quickly as possible on the basis of there's a huge amount of people who are facing eviction. I had a lady in front of me today, and she has gone round all the estate agents, and the estate agent said, we already have our own people who have been with us, who are on lists, who are about to be evicted. We're trying to look after them first.
Right.
I've been on to the local authority, who are saying they are under incredible pressure in relation to what they're dealing with and what's coming on. And they're glad of any information if someone has changed circumstances so they can deal with those who are absolutely facing eviction.
Okay.
And an awful lot of them in April.
I want to go to Richard O'Donoghue in our Limerick studio. Good evening to you, Richard O'Donoghue.
How are you?
Do you have any idea what way you'll be voting on this motion yet, or do you want more detail on it?
I haven't seen the motion that Sinn Féin have put forward, but in our own area here we have a massive concern of people that are worried about being evicted from their homes. We also have an awful lot of landlords that have good tenants in it, and we have no problems. But I have an awful lot of people in our county at the moment that have returned home from Australia or been away, and they can't get back into their own homes. So with an eviction ban, it's a double-edged sword for an awful lot of people, because I have people that are accidentally renters, and now the properties, they want them for their family or their sons, their daughters that are coming home, and now they have no place to live. And I have a lot of families at the moment that are actually at home and can't enter back into their own homes because of the eviction ban that's there. So in the area that I represent, the people that I represent want their homes back. And a lot of the people that are accidentally renters want to sell their properties. So from the point of view of a local authority, if there's tenants in situ, the government have to step up and make sure that those people are stay housed. For the people that want their homes back for their own families to live in, something has to be done for them too.
Right, so broadly speaking, you support the eviction ban being lifted, because I can detect
yes.
you have some sympathy for people who want their houses back
yes.
or want to sell on. But in terms of the volume of people that are coming to you, where is the greatest amount of concern coming from? From people who are concerned about homelessness, or people who can't move back into properties they own?
From the people that I have at the moment, a lot of people are properties that they want to come back in home, and the people that want to sell their properties. And get out there. They're actually accidental renters, because we have a massive problem here in Limerick where our infrastructure hasn't been invested in the last 25 years, so we can't build houses. And that now has left us a lull that any houses that are there at the moment, and we had Dara O'Brien down recently, and he was looking at announcing houses that were being built, and every place he went to, there's no more capacity on any of the infrastructure that we have there. So they can't build houses, so there's only a limited amount of houses that are there.
All right. I'm going to go to John Cummins, Fine Gael's Shannon spokesperson on housing here. John Cummins, the Tánaiste has said today that tax break measures, the likes of capital gains relief for landlords or any other tax breaks for that matter, are not being considered before the budget. What do you favour on that, and what's your understanding of it?
Well, I suppose it's a tricky one. As a government, we obviously introduced a renter's tax credit in the budget in September, which came into effect and backdated. There were some relief mechanisms there for landlords. I'm on record as saying that I believe that there should be supports put in place to encourage more landlords to remain in the market. I think the NESC report of 2 or 3 weeks ago at this stage has recommended that there should be additional tax breaks put in place right. for landlords in return, obviously, for additional tenants.
Can I quote you a document from 3 years ago, your own general election manifesto? Encouraging landlords to provide long-term tenancies was in your manifesto. Fine Gael is committed to a comprehensive review of the tax treatment of landlords. This will ensure that smaller landlords who provide most of the rental stock are not unfairly treated compared with larger institutional landlords. We will encourage landlords to provide long-term tenancies, offering greater stability to renters. If that had been acted on 3 years ago when you entered government, there would be more measures in place to ensure that lifting this eviction ban would not have such drastic consequences. Do you agree with that?
Well, I support what you've just outlined. That is Fine Gael policy. As you're aware, there's a coalition government in place
made up of three parties. Who's blocking those particular aspects of Fine Gael policy in government?
Well, I think that there should be and will be tax measures put in place in order to encourage landlords to remain in the market. You can't have tenancies without landlords. I know there are some opposition politicians that think you can have tenancies without landlords, and I think it's unfortunate that a lot of the debate has pitted one against the other. The reality is, in order to have a proper functioning market, we need to have landlords, you need to have protections for tenants as well.
Right.
We have put additional measures in place in order to extend the duration of tenancies and notice periods as well, and we have put that renter's tax credit in place, as I mentioned.
But what you're saying, your expectation is that some of those measures, tax treatment of landlords, are going to be introduced. It's taken your party in government 3 years to get that across the line.
Well, look, as I said, we are in a coalition government and I'd be very interested to know what the opposition have to say in relation to that because, you know...
I suppose people would also be interested to know what the opposition within government was.
Yeah, well, we have put some measures in place, as I outlined. You know, there was additional reliefs in terms of pre-letting expenses and in terms of offsetting white goods that was introduced in the budget in September. I think we do need to go further than that. We need to encourage more landlords to remain in the market. I have been saying that for quite some time. I'm not sure if the opposition are in favour of putting those measures in place. They only want to give out that we're losing landlords from the market, but are they willing to put measures in place? Because the Sinn Féin budget alternative looked to put an additional €400 tax on landlords in their alternative budget.
Rory O'Murica, you're going to be making a pitch to indeed government TDs as well as independent and other opposition TDs to support your motion. I'll give you a minute. Make a pitch there to Richard O'Donoghue. We'll see if he's convinced.
I am sure that Richard is like many of us, that he has a huge amount of people who are coming who are facing eviction, that we are trying to access the services. I have a huge amount. My office, some of the councillors, what they spend their time doing is dealing with rental agencies. And like, as I told you, rental agencies that are now saying, we have no room at the inn. We're trying our absolute damnedest to make sure we can sort out who we have in situ. Whereas I have landlords who are ringing me in relation to the possibility of their properties being bought. We need to facilitate that. But let's be clear. Let's get all these pieces in place properly, not ad hocly. And, you know, you're hearing one piece in a public domain from one government representative. You're hearing something different from Dara O'Brien. And we're not seeing actually how this is necessarily going to work out. So we need to see that as soon as possible. In relation to somebody coming back to their own house, we had previously on the eviction ban put in an amendment on the basis of that there would be an allowance in relation to someone returning to their own home. Right. But the fact is, who I'm getting coming to me are those people that are facing eviction and a huge amount of people that are very worried. And we know that the problem is we're reliant on the private market because there hasn't been enough social and affordable houses built for many, many years. Okay. And that is the crux of the problem.
Richard O'Donoghue, are you convinced?
No, again, if there is systems in place where people can be allowed to come back to their own home, and if there is systems there where people had actually wanted to sell their own property for a financial reason, because if they were under pressure themselves and they had no other choice as accidental landlords, they has to be facilitated. So for having not seen Sinn Féin's motion that they're putting forward, I again say that we have to have different things in place for people that are in tenancies. A lot of our tenants that are in are happy where they are, and they're not facing eviction because they're good tenants. We have a minority of bad landlords, and we have a minority of bad tenants that are making this absolutely hell for people that are in good tenancies.
But they're not covered by the eviction ban. Anybody who's engaged in antisocial behaviour can be evicted.
No, we're talking about a no-fault eviction ban.
Yeah, exactly. No-fault eviction ban would be something to be looked at.
Right.
But we have an awful lot of people that are in houses for the last number of years that have caused issues across the board, and they have to be dealt with, and people have to be allowed back into their home.
Okay.
Estate management.
Hang on a second. I just want to come to Elaine Loughran first. We're in week two. We're going to go on to week three of this. We still don't have an answer to what is the outstanding question. Where are people going to go when they're evicted after April 1st and the government accepts it's possible, if not probable, that people will be evicted? Where are they going to go when this happens, given the supply of accommodation?
That is the big question. And Dara O'Brien, the Housing Minister, has admitted that it is likely that the numbers in homeless emergency accommodation, or the numbers trying to access homeless emergency accommodation, will increase as a result of the ending of this eviction ban. But I think it's interesting to go back to Sinn Féin's motion. While it will bring a focus, or possibly even a renewed focus, on this issue after the break, and I think sometimes members of government bring issues to cabinet right before a dull recess in the hope that it might peter out over that recess, I don't think that's the case here. I think that it may even ramp up after we see a return to the dull. But even Sinn Féin don't expect much, I don't think, from this much action. Eoin Ó Briain today basically said that it was important to put political pressure on on government backbenchers, and whether, you know, it was a motion or a bill didn't really matter. All that the Sinn Féin want to get out of this is to put the squeeze essentially on the backbench TD.
I think it's important to say, like, you know, at the top of this programme, you outlined that Sinn Féin had proposed at the end of the year. You did as well, Colm. Sinn Féin have flip-flopped on this from the very outset. They supported the legislation back in October, which was to put the temporary moratorium in place. All of their TDs and senators supported that, which was to see a phase out of it, out to the 18th of June. That is what was legislated for in the Dáil. Then they had a number of their TDs coming out saying that it should be extended for a number of months. Then their party leader and their spokesman came out and said it should be extended to the end of the year. Then you had the Taoiseach rightly pointing out that would mean that people would be evicted a few days after Christmas. And what happened only yesterday or the day before, now Ón Oibrín comes out and says that we're actually saying now the 31st of January and to be phased out beyond that. So, you know, it's not credible what Sinn Féin are proposing. Is there anyone suggesting that Sinn Féin would, in next January, if they were in government, lift it ahead of a local election?
Luckily, we have a Sinn Féin representative beside you.
Yeah, well, let's be very clear. Obviously, we entered and supported the eviction ban because the eviction ban was put in place because we're in an absolute emergency. We knew there was a huge amount of people that were going to face eviction. That's why we all supported it. And the notion was that we would do something in relation to providing solutions for those people who were in those situations. It's only now we're starting to get any sort of proper conversation in relation to this tenant in situ, or whether we're talking about a beyond a tenant in situ for those people who aren't on the housing list, that we can talk about something like an affordable cost rental system. But here, we need to see the detail as soon as possible. And what would make a hell of a lot more sense is if we give a period of time now that allowed for these pieces to be put in play, and we could actually get down to also ramping up a piece of work around building social and affordable homes.
And I think there is a point to be made in that, in the fact that, you know, we did know that this eviction ban was going to end. It was introduced last October as a temporary winter measure. Dara O'Brien arguably had the whole winter to come up with alternative solutions like we're hearing now, but which are at a very a lack of advanced stage, I suppose. You know, even this thing of allowing tenants first refusal if a property goes up for sale, that will require legislation. Nothing has been drafted, so that's a long way off. So the details are very scant about what measures the government are coming up with to protect both landlords and tenants.
I just want to go to Richard O'Donoghue. Richard O'Donoghue, what do you think the most effective measure would have been if the eviction ban, as it is at the moment, going to lapse at the end of this month? What do you think the most effective measure in tandem with that would have been to keep people in their home or convince landlords to stay in the sector for longer?
Well, you see, a lot of the landlords in our area were landlords by mistake. And if you look at any of those landlords, if they're working at the moment, they have a 44% tax on the income that they have coming into those houses, and to maintain the house at the high cost of any works that have to be done to houses. I think if they looked at it from a point of view of, if they approached the landlords and told them that, listen, we will give you the value of property with the in-situ tenants, it would help. If they also helped enforce the enforcement for landlords that had problem tenants, and enforce the laws to make sure that if you were a bad tenant, that then the enforcement, that they allowed you to work with that. But the enforcement is there, but it's not carried out. And what we need to do is, as well as that, we need to put in place for where we have bad landlords that are actually causing fierce problems for tenants. Again, there needs to be enforcement put in there to make sure that those tenants are protected.
All right, John Cummins there. The Taoiseach has said today, in part of his remarks in New York, that there couldn't be a knee-jerk response to the situation, he said, because any one measure might have unintended consequences. But surely lifting the eviction ban or allowing it to lapse is just such a measure that isn't being introduced in tandem with any of the other things we've heard this evening.
No, I don't think that's a fair assertion. You have to look at what has been done in the intervening period. We've seen 500 units bought. We've seen 600 leases put in place, 1,500 voids brought back into use. We've seen a record house building in terms of social housing. We've seen 30,000 new homes delivered, 698 former vacant premises brought back into use for housing purposes.
But the new builds you're talking about, those 30,000 are largely for sale. Like the people who are going to be evicted, over 2,500 of them.
Highest number of social housing delivered since 1975, last year in 2022.
But there are still large numbers of homeless people. There are still hotel rooms at a great pinch point coming into the tourist season, with pressure on them from international protection as well. We had raised in the Dáil during the week to Rory O'Murchu's colleague, Mark Ward, of South Dublin County Council, saying that in the absence of a family being able to find alternative accommodation, they'd have to present at a Garda station, which we heard over the weekend from the Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors, that there isn't the capacity to accommodate people.
Yeah, well, you have to look at the measures that have been working. So if I look at my own county, and I often cite it in terms of the repair and lease scheme, the repair and lease scheme hasn't been functioning to a great extent in many local authorities. But in Waterford, which accounts for 50% of all repair and lease units in the country, there's the largest scheme, 72 units for over 55s coming on stream in May. That's going to provide 1 and 2 bedroom homes, former vacant and derelict premises brought back into use for social housing purposes. There's many examples of them, in fact over 300 in my own county. Other local authorities need to step up to the plate.
So you're confident when this ban lapses there'll be plenty of option for people who are evicted, are you?
I didn't say that, and that's why the government has put over 650 emergency beds. That's not a solution in and of itself. But we have also put in the other measures, and it seems nobody is interested in talking about the measures that have been implemented. They're only interested in criticising. It is important.
Well, I mean, eating bread is soon forgotten if you're facing an eviction order.
Well, and I deal with the very same constituents that Rory deal with on a daily basis, and that's why we're putting those measures in place.
You're not acknowledging that there's a difficult housing context. Inroads, however limited you may believe them to be, are being made. Why aren't you giving the government credit where the government says credit is due?
Yeah, but you got it there. We are. We accept this is a crisis. We would call it an emergency. You spoke earlier about the Taoiseach and unintended consequences. Well, we know what the consequences are going to be of lifting this ban. We're already dealing with this. And I'm sure John is like myself. He is going to, and he is already inundated with people who are in extreme difficulties, and we're all trying to fix this clientelistically.
Just let me ask you this. If the eviction ban lapses in January, say, or thereabouts, and there are still people in critical situations, where's the accommodation going to be found at that point? What measures would you use to find sufficient quantities of emergency accommodation to accommodate those people, or would you look to extend the eviction ban again?
Look, here's what this gives us. It gives us breathing space, and it gives us the possibility. And the possibility is looking at some of the pieces that John has spoken about. See, as regards derelict and vacant buildings, we really need to do it on a serious scale. Look, we're talking about an emergency. We know that COVID was an emergency. We got everybody to sit around. We got all the powers that are necessary. We were able to do stuff as regards planning and procurement. Well, that's the sort of, and we all know about the new technologies. We've been talking about 3D. Printing concrete build, and we've been talking about modular builds forever, but we really need to see it done at scale. So
we have a construction contractor in the room, well, not in the room, but on the line anyway, Richard O'Donoghue. What do you think of those proposals, renovating the derelict buildings and 3D printing and all manner of solutions being offered there? How do they wash with you?
The derelict buildings, if they were brought back into use, would be good, but again, you need the amount of tradespeople to do that, where there's been a lack of tradespeople since 2008, and they're only coming back into the market now for specialised training. The biggest thing we need here is infrastructure. I'll just mention to Croom, we've been waiting for a year and a half now for water infrastructure to be delivered to Croom for me to build 100 houses. So I'd have 100 extra houses in Croom within a 12 or 15 minute commute from Limerick City if I had the water infrastructure. We've brought this to the Dáil, and every time it's next quarter, next quarter, next quarter. Hospital, Drumcolliher. Again, the same situation. I can build houses if I have infrastructure, and I'd have plenty of houses built in Limerick if they had invested in the infrastructure like I've been asking them for the last 3 years. And we would build a house ourselves. We just provide us with the infrastructure, which is at max capacity. And we've seen that when Dara came down himself. He saw it firsthand. He went to hospital where there was 20 new units being built. Five of them had on-site sewerage systems in a housing estate. That's the type of crisis we are. It's infrastructure builds houses. You cannot build houses, modular houses, or anything else in this country unless you have the basic infrastructure, which the government and the previous governments have lacked to invest in any
county. John Cummins, you are a member of the current government. You remember the previous government as well. So you've been in power for over a decade. Those infrastructure concerns are firmly at your door, aren't they?
Well, I sit on the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Housing, Local Government and Heritage with Richard, and we're currently going through the Planning and Reform Bill pre-legislative scrutiny at the moment. I think there's an opportunity in the Planning Bill, particularly in terms of critical infrastructure, like Richard has just outlined there, that those powers in terms of CPOs and Part 8s that are available to local authorities, that they would be available for that critical infrastructure like water that's mentioned there. And, you know, that's something that has been raised during our pre-legislative scrutiny.
With over 11,000,
I think it's something that we need to
include. With over 11,000 people homeless and policy measures being taken that risk people going into homelessness and being evicted, you're talking about what local authorities can do. Where's the emergency approach if CPOs and those kind of drastic measures are required of getting them to do it, of passing the legislation?
Well, Richard's local authority is actually one of the best in the country in terms of CPOs. I think their director, Richard might correct me, their director of service mentioned 119 CPOs of derelict properties.
Do you want to see more CPOs, Richard?
In the past 24
is that the
months,
kind of action you're looking at?
Good number.
There's a lot of properties in Limerick, and for many, many years, the properties were gone derelict and they have CPO'd and they are bringing them back into...
Would you like to see more of it for infrastructure?
Yes, 100%. We need to have more CPOs on buildings that have not been in the system for the last 5, 10, 15 years. And it is changing. They are going into the streetscapes where people haven't invested in the houses. There's been no one in the house. They are bringing them. And he's right. Limerick are at the top of bringing these buildings back into life again and putting families into it. But John will also tell you, for the last 3 years, we've been sitting on the Housing Committee, and I've been looking for infrastructure since day one. And now we're 3 years down the line and we haven't got the investment in infrastructure. If we had investment in infrastructure, I'd have houses in Limerick, and I wouldn't have a housing crisis in Limerick if they invested in the basic infrastructure, which is water and sewerage.
All right.
Can I just make a tiny...
I'll let you back in a second, John Cummins.
Just in relation to, if we're talking about infrastructure...
You want local authorities to take harder action too, don't you, your part?
Oh yeah, no, of course we do. And look, we...
What's the blockage, think? Why isn't everywhere Limerick, I suppose?
Well, here, Louth at one stage was way ahead in relation to CPOs.
What happened?
Well, you'll find a number of things generally happen in relation to these sets of circumstances. You will also find at the minute, I'd love to know what the actual department's status is in relation to buying long-term rentals, which are the rental properties that the council takes on for a long period. Because my understanding is, for a considerable amount of time, when local authorities were looking to buy those, they had first refusal on them, they were having difficulties as regards purchasing them. And some of them may have found particular workarounds, but that's not the solution we need. We need to be able to facilitate. Also, if I'm talking about, I use the example of the Port Access Northern Cross route, if we're talking about infrastructure, it's about to be opened up. Until that happens and that is done, that will suddenly open up a huge amount of house building in a particular part of Drogheda. Well, that is the sort of stuff that does need to happen.
That's a long time.
Faster, quicker, better.
Would you accept, John Cummins, as this goes into next week, if you cannot answer the simple question of where people are supposed to go if they're evicted after April 1st, there's going to be a political crisis on top of a homeless crisis, as people are as people may not be minded to support the government of which they're a member of?
Well, look, that's why we have I don't want to go through them all again in terms of the measures that have been implemented and the ones that will be. They've been teased out ad nauseum over the last number of weeks.
But you'd accept they're not going to be adequate to cope with the numbers post April 1st, are they?
Well, Well, I think they can. I think they can. And local authorities right across the country have amazing staff in place in order to try.
I'm going to say they don't have enough.
The point I just wanted to make briefly, if Limerick are the best in terms of CPO, Cork have been exceptionally good at buy and renew, Waterford in terms of the repair and lease. What we need is every local authority to be operating at a top level in relation to all three of those schemes, which are aimed at bringing derelict and vacant properties all back into use.
Okay, Elaine Loughton, do you think people are going to share John Cummins' optimism next week?
I'm not quite sure. It'll depend how good Sinn Féin are at lobbying all of these backbench TDs and independents who've previously supported the government to see if they can get them on side for this vote. But I think to pick up on what Richard said, I think he made a good point there about the lack of wastewater treatment plants in towns and villages, mainly small to medium-sized villages across the country. And we do know that, you know, the construction of one-off housing in the countryside is being discouraged now unless there is a local need. So we do have people trying to, you know, buy houses in local towns and villages. And effectively, some of these local towns and villages are shut because the wastewater treatment systems are full to capacity. And until they are upgraded, there cannot be any more development in these villages, which, you know, local builders would love to get a chance at building even 10, 12, 15 house developments, which would cater for the local population.
100%. All right.